Chicago sports conversation is now.
The 15-10-5, touchdown!
Weinberg might be out of here! Hey, hey.
Oh, baby!
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Never had to wait longer for a show. Jay Cutler goes to Fox. Gar and Pax talk. Joe Maddon's. It's even Kentucky Derby Day and I care. Not really, but I'm going to try to care. I'm Mark Harmon. You are Harry Tynowitz. It's The Beat, 720 WGN with you till 7. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be here. I've been looking forward to the show for a long time.
I've been looking forward to seeing you, and I can't wait to talk with Brittany. You're a dancer. I know next week you're Dancing with the Stars. It's so cool. He's at the Carm. Want to reach us on Twitter? He's at the Carm. I'm Hey Tweet Harry.
Yeah, so I am in a Dancing with the Stars competition. Mm. Thank you for bringing that up. It's next Saturday, a week from Saturday. I'm going to miss the show.
What?
Yeah.
Saturday night, I thought.
Yeah, well, thing starts at 6, buddy. This show is 4 to 7, so I'm not going to be with you.
What?
I'll be checking in from the dance studio, so you're going to be driving this show with the host to be determined.
Well, two things surprised me there. A, that you won't be here, and B, that I will be.
Well, you know, things are changing in life, Harry. You're mm-hmm. here, buddy.
Yes.
And things are changing for me, too. I'm going to be dancing in a competition. And I am working with Brittany. Brittany, unfortunately, was unavailable to come on the show today. I know you really wanted
What about Brittany Payton?
We could call Brittany Payton. I don't know if she's available. That's possible. Yeah. We'd always like to have Brittany Payton on the show if she can, you know, get away from Chicago's Best and everything else that Brittany Payton does. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing it to A Hands Clap, which is a great tune. And if we can just play it nonstop if you want on the show, I can make your hands clap. The thing I've been working on, Harry, is the actual clapping, like that part. It sounds easy, right? I can make your hands clap. But I was struggling with that, and she was looking at me in utter terror that I couldn't even
How
get
down. How do you screw up clapping?
Well, there's a rhythm to the hands clap. I can make your hands clap. And I was doing something else, but now I've got it. See, I've been practicing that. And then I've been working on my rock step, rock step, rock step.
Whatever you do when you're dancing, don't be counting. Don't let people see you saying the steps to yourself.
Oh, I'm going to be talking to myself.
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, that's the way it's going
to
be.
It doesn't have to be.
Well, okay. The thing is Saturday night. I got a busy life. I don't know how much I can really jam into, you know, getting myself. I mean, it's so good, right? It's going to get the whole crowd going.
Yeah.
Right?
You can get the clap.
We're going to be out here. We don't even know. I mean, I really. And then I do a spin right here, and then. It's really a whole thing. It's a whole thing, Harry.
I can't wait to see the spin.
312-981-7200. Who thinks that I will be the worst dancer in the history of dancers? This is going to be another big thing that happened this week, Harry. I know that a lot of people are very interested in my life.
Uh-huh.
I did go out in the East Bank Club semifinals. Heartbreaking loss.
Oh,
to Bobby.
Tennis?
Yeah, heartbreaking loss to Bobby.
How old is Bobby? 90?
Bobby is younger than me. Bobby is a legit player. Bobby beat me 6-1 last time, Harry. I dedicated my tennis life to getting better to take down Bobby for the rematch. And I had a set point in the second. I know you're proud of me for getting that far.
Yeah.
But Bobby came with the big serve, won that.
They call him Big Serve Bobby.
They do. They do. Big Serve Bobby. And Bobby won that game, and then he won the next two games. I lost 6-2, 7-5, Harry.
Oh, man. But that's enough tennis talk.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry you lost, Carm.
Yeah, can we move on and do a real show now?
It took me a while to get over this.
Right? Well, so thank you for caring, Harry.
I care.
I appreciate it.
I know how
that.
Much it means to you.
All right.
Was anybody having sex during your tennis match?
No, it was...
That's a great way to get people to care about tennis stories.
That's true.
Yes.
And we did have Mike Cashin on, who did call sex going on across the lake. If people missed that story a couple weeks ago, that's why you referenced that.
Yes.
We had him on the show. One of the highest rated segments we ever had was the tennis announcer with the sex talk, which is a great thing. I mean, sex is great in all sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't actually sex to tennis. They were just having sex, and you could hear it in the tennis match because tennis matches are not rowdy.
Sex to tennis. Who does that?
Well, I think a lot of people have done that over time, Harry.
Okay.
You get a little... little action going on the court. You hear the grunting. Mm-hmm. You're sitting next to somebody that mm-hmm. you know gets you excited yourself. And the next thing you know, you've got tennis and action going on all at the same time. Nothing wrong with that. This is a family radio station. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't
yeah.
think. So, okay, we're going to talk to your brother, Danny Tynowitz.
Yes, we are.
At 4:30 about the Kentucky Derby, because you guys are, I mean, you are Mr. Horse Racing. It's Derby Day, Harry.
We were lucky enough to grow up around thoroughbred racehorses, and I thought every five-year-old knew how to read a racing form. My sister...
Wait, hold on a second. Yes. You really were five and reading the racing form?
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
amazing.
I had all the tracks, knew all the fractions, knew all the breeding, and my brothers and I would be at the track, and... guys would call out to us, say, who do you like? Who do you like? And then we became friends with so many trainers and jockeys. And then Danny speaks Spanish. So he knows like all kinds of information because he can speak, Spanish. And I love the racetrack. Eddie Olczyk was in the Tribune this week talking about how hockey and thoroughbred horse racing are the two sports where if you see them live, you appreciate them more. I think that that's very true. I think the tennis, you can appreciate, the same if you watch on TV or if you are there in person. But today is the first Saturday in May, which means that we have a chance for a hero to be born.
That's true. Today a hero could be born. And I did a lot of Derby reading today because I wanted to be at least somewhat on your level.
That is awesome.
Have a little bit of information. So I do have one. The favorite of the race is a great story. What's his name?
Yes.
Who's the favorite of today's race?
You should Classic know. Empire.
Yeah. Do you know the story behind Classic Empire?
I do want you to share with us.
Well, Classic Empire, the trainers actually grew up right down the street from the Kentucky Derby. And they dreamed of one day having a Derby horse, and today is that day. Now, the house is right down the street from the Derby. These are not wealthy people. So you're talking about a family that was selling $50 lawn spots, for people to park to go to the Derby, and, somebody like that never ends up having a Derby horse. But they got in the training business, and then they built up some equity, and people believed into them. So some wealthy guy, don't know who that is, don't really care, said, hey, why don't you train our horses? And so now, as trainers, they have the chance to – they grew up down the street from the Derby, and they have a chance to win the Derby today with – who was it again? American what?
Classic Empire.
Yeah, him.
I'm glad you read up.
Is it him or is it a her? It's a her, right?
They're all boys today.
Oh, they're all boys today.
Yes. Now, a girl can run in this race, and girls have won this race. But fillies, I should say. Fillies were just in town, by the way. Cubs took 3 out of 4 from the Phillies. But boys, colts, cannot run in the Oaks. So, like, Andrew Luck couldn't run in the Oaks yesterday, which is the female version of the Derby. But today, you have 23-year-olds going the classic distance of 1.25 miles, which is 10 furlongs, and furlong is the English word for block. So they're going 1.25 miles, 10 blocks, and it is so exciting because they call it the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Just like that, somebody's dream will be made. And Taprit, so you're talking about Empire Maker, who's the favorite. I'm sorry, Classic Empire from the Empire Maker family. Classic Empire is number 14. Taprit, number 16, costs $1.2 million as a baby.
Is that all?
That's all. They bought him, and it cost $1.2 million.
Can you imagine that? You
to have buy Taprit.
I'm going to buy that horse. He's a baby. I got no idea if he's going to be great or not. Maybe he will be. Here's $1.2 million. There's the check.
Right, but then you got another horse in this race who sold for $16,000, and that's why horse racing's great. You got people that run Fortune 500 companies that are at Churchill Downs today, and they're going to be hanging out with guys that are out of work looking for employment. It's a cross-section of not only America, but the world.
So it's all of Americana, all of the world, just all descending on Churchill Downs the first Saturday in May. Those with big dreams to hit on a ticket, to win a horse race, to watch these three-year-old amazing fillies.
Colts,
right. Run 1.25 miles, 10 furlongs around the track.
Look at you.
You can just feel the excitement. It's all coming to you at 5:34.
Yes.
And Danny Tynowitz, your brother, who is your brother and also a racing guru, is going to be with us.
Yeah, we'll talk to him. Yeah. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes. But, I mean, there's there's other stuff around the Derby to talk about. That's not like you don't have to be a horse racing expert, but just like fun stuff.
Right, right, right. We might not have a ton of time for me to get fully down the road with what I want to do next with what's going on with the Chicago Cubs. There's a change in the lineup tonight that I would like to see remain. We'll talk about that next. You can also celebrate your love for literature with Al Franken, Amy Dickinson, and Heather Ann Thompson. Visit PrintersRowLitFest.org for tickets. Coming on back with a little Cubs talk, and then we're talking to Danny T. Harry T and Danny T, the Derby. Don't worry, ton of Cubs talk, ton of a little Bulls action for you on the show today with Gar and Pax, a little Jay Cutler coming at you. Nothing to do until 7 right here, 720 WGN. WGN 421. Thanks for putting on the beat this Saturday afternoon. It's too cold outside, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. This is unfair.
By the way, it's not too cold out, and I'm disappointed in the Cubs fans that have stayed away from Wrigley all week.
I'm thinking about going tonight after the show.
Well, you should. I was thinking about going tonight after the show.
Really? We could all go together, Harry.
Well, my in-laws are in town, so I will be going to see my in-laws while they're still my in-laws.
Oh. There's always one every week. I am so uncomfortable by what goes on in your family. It's unbelievable. But if you're going to be loyal to the in-laws, I'm not going to try to
love my in-laws.
Talk you out of seeing your in-laws, which I'm sure are amazing.
But don't you think like the World Series champion Cubs need a full house? I mean, we used to go to games when it was 30 degrees out. It's 48 and people are like, too cold.
I don't think anybody should go to a baseball game in this weather, even though I'm going to go to a baseball game in this weather. It's too cold, man.
50 degrees.
It's cold.
That's ridiculous.
162 games.
It's 81. The Yankees.
Who cares?
The New York Yankees, the evil empire.
312-981-7200. Is it too cold to go to a baseball game tonight? Well, look at what the ticket prices are going. Cubs are making. Cub fans who bought their tickets as an investment with the Yankees are getting absolutely cracked this weekend. There is no value for these seats. Now, that's probably because of the weather.
It's because of the weather. But I don't get it. Chicago is the coolest city, toughest city, blue-collar city, work hard, play hard, and there's a chip on my shoulder. Even though we're World Series champions, I can't speak for everybody. But I believe there's other people out there that feel the same way about New Yorkers that I do.
3,021 tickets available right now on StubHub. Cheapest seat is $27, which ain't that cheap, by the way, if you consider fees and all that. Okay, so hey, tonight in the lineup, Ben Zobrist leading off for the Cubs.
Not Schwarber.
Schwarber gets the day off. Lefty on the mound tonight for the Yankees. Also getting the day off is Jason Hayward, who is a lefty, and he has a little bit of a knuckle issue from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here, there's a connection between Hayward to me and the Cubs leadoff man, Kyle Schwarber. Now, I'm a huge Kyle Schwarber guy. Don't take this as negativity to Schwarber because, you know, Schwarber's great and I want him in the lineup. However, he's hitting 193. He's got an on-base percentage of .313. He is striking out at an enormous rate. And he's not a leadoff hitter. He's just not. So this was Jason Hayward on his slump last year. When he said the... Is that me? Sorry. Jason Hayward came up with Atlanta. He was a middle-of-the-order hitter, right?
Yeah.
He's hitting 27 bombs in 2012. Then they moved him up in the lineup.
Right.
And this was Hayward's comments about it. The more times I let off, the less aggressive I got. As a hitter, I wasn't groomed to be a leadoff hitter. Then you're asked to do it. It was in my head. It never kind of gets out of your head. Passivity comes creeping in. He changed his game because he was leading off. Now, I'm not saying Schwarber's doing that, but whatever Schwarber is doing so far ain't working. And maybe he'll get out of it and maybe he won't. But Ben Zobrist is a work-the-count guy.
He was one of the, statistically, one of the league leaders last year in seeing pitches per at-bat.
Yeah, and to me, listen, I know Joe Maddon loves Schwarber at the top, but come on, man, he is a middle-of-the-order, want to hit him second like you did a bunch of times. He's not a leadoff guy, and it ain't working. And he's hitting 193. And granted, it's
What's
early.
What's his OBP?
His on-base percentage is .313. Yes. He's in 109 at-bats. He struck out 39 times. If you watch Schwarber closely, he looks lost at the plate. He looks slow. He's not his normal self.
The prototypical leadoff man that we grew up with, the greatest being like Ricky Henderson, also like Tim Raines, Lou Brock, you know, the great leadoff man, Joe Maddon, he doesn't care about prototypes. Joe Maddon bats the pitcher eighth. He has the third baseman go play right field.
That's fine. And by the way, Ben Zobrist is not a traditional cleanup hitter. He's done a great job there.
Right.
However, if you put somebody in a spot and he doesn't excel there, you want to give him another 100 at-bats, okay. But at some point, they might have to face the facts that, look, the guy's just not a leadoff hitter.
Joe's sticking with him.
I think he's going to. But I'm just telling you right now, on May the 6th, Derby Day, I would move things around. I'd bet him lead off some. I'd move it around a little bit. Get to Madden and how he used the bullpen a little bit later. Okay, Patty, welcome to the show. Is it too cold for baseball, Patty?
I think it's too cold, but I'm old too, so who knows?
Patty, I don't believe it. I know you live in Chicago. I'm assuming that you've been to cold baseball games before.
I'm literally from Chicago. I live in Northwest Indiana.
Same thing as being a Chicagoan. People, I think there's a lot of people in Chicago don't realize like how close people, you know, in Indiana. Some people in Indiana live. So I mean, you've done it before. Now they're World Series champions, and they're playing the Yankees. Isn't that even more reason to roll into Wrigleyville?
It's cold.
Who can afford the tickets? No, it's too cold.
Patty, if I gave you free seats tonight, would you come?
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just graduated from college this morning. So.
Well, Patty, you just said you're too old, and now you're telling me you just graduated from college? Are you 22 years old, or what are we dealing with here, Patty?
I graduated from Ancilla College in Donaldson, Indiana, and I'm 59 years old.
Patty, you
said... That's awesome.
Congratulations, and you do not sound 59. I don't know what 59 should sound like, but you don't sound like
Were you in a...
I don't look it, and it's on YouTube, too. They videotaped it this morning.
Really?
Sweet. Were you in a sorority?
Yeah, my friend's in the Army, and he couldn't come to see it, so they had a live feed going. Not just because they have
YouTube.com. What am I searching, Patty? I want to watch you graduate.
Ancilla College,
Patty, graduation. Okay, I can't wait for the commercial break. I'm in.
And it says they called me Patty Mac, so you'll know who it is.
Okay, Patty Mac. If I had free tickets, I'd give them to you, Patty. Unfortunately, I don't.
Patty, I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe you've graduated college today and you don't have big plans for tonight, whatever they are.
I'm driving Uber.
Oh, you know how to celebrate. I want to party with you.
I'll celebrate next weekend. It's too much this weekend.
Patty, thank you for calling. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Make some money tonight. You got it. You never know who you meet at an Uber, buddy.
You a big Uber guy?
I'm not. Not a big technological standard. Can barely understand the Uber.
Lyft?
Which is pathetic. No, I like, you know... If I go to Wrigley tonight, I will be taking the I'll take public transportation here. I will ride the L.
You're a wild man.
I don't know if that makes me wild.
I have a friend who's driving for Uber, and he told me that I should do it. And I tried, I thought about calling, but you can't have a DUI in the last 7 years if you drive for Uber or Lyft. So I was thinking like, well, what if you've been clean for 6 years and haven't had a drink for 6 years? And they said, no, it doesn't matter.
Well, you're 1 year away from starting your Uber career.
Well, I think I should start my own Uber company. And it'll be for people that have, like, a DUI in the past, but they've got at least 5 years of sobriety and 5 years of a clean record. And I'm going to call it Swerve.
Oh, boy. Quick timeout. Danny T coming right up. Swerve, brought to you by Harry Tynowitz on 720 WGN. Derby Day, my favorite day of the radio year. Opportunity to talk about horses. What are the horses thinking right now? I'm Mark Carmody's Harry Tynowitz, Dan Long producing Living Dreams, Derby Day, 312-981-7200. Harry, how long have you known your brother?
I've known Danny Tynowitz, it seems like, since he was born.
Mm-hmm. Who's older?
I am older.
Age difference?
Age difference, 3 years.
Who's more intelligent?
Danny. Danny's a lawyer. He's an attorney, for God's sake.
And a degenerate at night? He's betting on the horses? Is that about accurate?
Yeah, but I think, you know, degenerate's not quite the right word for it. It's probably like broken down horse player.
Okay. Danny, did we portray you accurately?
I think so. Good afternoon, guys. Hi, Mark. Hi, Harry. How you doing today?
Danny, we're doing great. Thank you so much for joining us, and it's a pleasure to be on with you and your brother.
Danny, I'm very excited for the first Saturday in May. Can you tell Carm why the Kentucky Derby is such a special event?
Well, it's been widely heralded as the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, and the Kentucky Derby is regarded as the biggest race in America. And, you know, three-year-olds is the restriction. It's a derby is a race restricted to three-year-old horses. So every horse only gets one chance in its entire career to run in the derby. Some horses are very precocious and run early and then might get injured after their two-year-old season. Some horses don't develop until later in their three-year-old year.
You know, it's interesting, Danny. I know you know a lot about this race, but, you know, I do too. The Kentucky Derby, you know, his first run, as you know, Danny, in 1875. This is the oldest continuously held sporting event in the United States. I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure you know that. I just want to show my knowledge too. The first Derby, of course, was won by
Aristides,
right, that one. Aristides. And, of course, your last Triple Crown winner came in 2015 with American Pharoah.
And what was unusual about American Pharoah, Carm?
It was a horse.
Danny?
Unusual about American Pharoah, well, he was the first Triple Crown winner since affirmed
but
in
the
1978.
Mistake.
But his name was misspelled, actually. They misspelled Pharoah, and they had to go with the misspelled name.
How great is that?
That's unbelievable. You know, I'll continue on here. Do you know what the first Triple Crown runner was, Danny? 1919.
Was that Sir Barton?
It was Sir Barton. Does he win Lou Malnati's or anything?
Sure, why not? Absolutely.
The only reason I know that is I had a large win bet on Sir Barton, so that's how I remember.
Uh-huh, see? There you go, 1919. And did you know that the favorite has won the Kentucky Derby now for 4 straight years?
Yeah, but usually never happens.
Well, how do you explain that, Harry? 4 in a row.
The last four times, the lowest price horse has gotten in the front. But these are very inconsistent horses. You know, you're 3 years old. You don't know. You know, you could have a horse. There's like 3 or 4 horses that can't win this race, and like 16 or 17 that can. Danny, human interest story. Which horse do you think is the most interesting human interest story?
Probably the horse Guinevere at number 10. He was the least expensive horse purchased at public auction for only $16,000, and his owner's trainer are based in Venezuela. His trainer was actually kidnapped twice in his native Venezuela before coming to the U.S. before he fled to the U.S. And Guinevere's mother died when he was a foal of only 10 days old, so he was raised by a nurse mare. And if you're looking for an underdog in the race, he's really an underdog, number 10, Guinevere.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Now, who else piques your interest in the field here? We were talking about Classic Empire and how he's being trained by a family that grew up right down the street from good old Churchill Downs. I think that's pretty cool.
Classic Empire is being trained by Mark Cassie, and he's an excellent trainer. He's trained in Kentucky, he's trained in Toronto, and he was actually the 2-year-old champion. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile out in California at Santa Anita and just came off of a strong victory in the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn.
It's interesting to me, Danny. I was reading extensively about Classic Empire, and it says that he just decided that he didn't want to race, and they would try to get him out there to train, and he'd be like, nah, I ain't running today. Like, the horse has feelings and desires and wants, and he just wouldn't go. And then they finally, like, they brought him back home, and he finally started going again. I mean, what's your advice to get a horse going that just doesn't want to work hard?
Viagra.
Right. Well, that could be it. I don't know. I thought it was interesting that this guy was like, nah, I ain't doing it. But then they were able to, like, play psychology with the horse.
I think tough love is the way to go. I think his trainers had to be very tough, and He said to alter the training tactics with him, and so, you know, he did have some some illness and injury along the way. So he did miss some of his workouts. So his fitness for the race might be a question, not to mention the mile and a quarter distance. He missed time training. I'm not sure if he'll be fit for this race today, Mark.
And Danny, Mark's two favorite sports are tennis and basketball. So I think he should bet Gervin, because the Bulls had the great George Gervin here at the end of his career. But what's interesting to me about Gervin is his jockey. Yesterday, the Philly running of the Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky Oaks, Mike Smith won. He's on the other side of 50. You know, for people that don't really follow horse racing, how incredible is it that this guy on the other side of 50 is winning the Kentucky Oaks and has a shot to win the Kentucky Derby? Again.
Wonderful story, Harry. Jockeys are regarded in many circles as the strongest and fittest athletes pound for pound. And here's a guy who's been through many injuries. And, you know, when you're in your 40s, you're considered old for a jockey. And this man is, I believe he's approximately 52 or 50 this year. So it's a wonderful story that Mike Smith can still be riding in the top echelon of American riders in his early 50s.
Danny, can you share a story of you and young Harry, like, taking in the horses and learning and perhaps having a fight around a horse when you guys were, I don't know, from somewhere between the ages of 5 and 15?
Well, the Tynowitz brothers never fight, so, you know, I hope you know that, first of all.
All right.
We just had a lot of fun going to the racetrack, you know, in Chicago and sometimes over the winter in Florida, and just seeing the horses and meeting the people involved, the jockeys and the trainers and the other racing fans and the other owners. And we just had some great times going to the racetracks and enjoying the great sport of horse racing.
And Danny, I know that you're at Arlington Park today. Arlington just opened yesterday, and Arlington Park is awesome. Get out there and spend your money there all summer. And, you know, then Hawthorne's going to open when Arlington closes. But you've been in the Kentucky Derby a whole lot more than I have. You know, can you, like, just paint a picture of what's going on? And the rain has stopped. The sun is coming up. So, you know, can you talk about the hats, the ladies, the, you know, the excitement in the air, the celebrities? What's happening right now at Churchill?
Churchill Down, everyone's very excited. Everyone's drinking heavily, betting heavily. It's packed. It's like sardines inside of a can. And
as opposed to outside of the can.
I wanted to be sure to distinguish that. But everyone's very excited in Churchill Downs, you know, host the greatest race of the year. And people are expecting a very exciting mile and a quarter for all the three-year-olds going forward today.
You got a pick for us, Danny? You got a exacta, a trifecta, a perfecta, boxy, something, something?
Well, before I officially release my selection on WGN Radio, I just wanted to say what makes the Derby so special is every horse only has one chance to run in the Derby. If you miss it, it's gone forever. Just imagine if Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews can only play in one Stanley Cup final. Just imagine if Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber only won a World Series. Just imagine if Cristiano Felicio and Paul Zipser could only play in one NBA Finals with the Bulls. Imagine that.
How many figure they'll get to play in?
If you want my pick, I think the horse who's most logical to hit the board, who has a strong chance, is the number 15 horse, McCracken. He is 3-for-3 lifetime undefeated at Churchill Downs. So if we're looking for the angle of horses for courses, that would apply to McCracken.
What about the horse with one eye? Isn't there a horse out there that's only got the one eye thing going on?
Yes, but he's asked me not to mention that. Number 20, his name is Patch. And in fact, he is missing his left eye, which is highly unfortunate, and even more so today because he's breaking from the number 20 post position. So he can't see the 19 horses to his left. All he'll be able to see ahead of him is the track in front of him and probably the fans in the stands to the right. But he is a very gutsy horse, and he's done well, and he's really raced incredibly well, considering only having one eye, Mark.
How did he lose his eye?
He had an infection.
I don't know.
He had an infection.
That's correct. That's correct. Harry's right.
So you youngsters out there, when you get in the shower, soap and water, can't get enough of it.
It's very good advice, Harry. Thank you.
Hey, DT, before we let you go, you know, a lot of people are all over the horse that won the Wood, Irish War Cry. What do you think of his chances today? And there's another jockey that was out for a year and a half because of his injury. A lot of people thought he'd never even run again. Now here he is on the horse with a chance to win the Derby.
Exactly. Irish War Kai came back strong, won a race at Florida, and then he fizzled in his next race. He ran a strong race in New York, winning the Wood Memorial. I just don't think that the pace scenario will work for him. I think he's going to have a tough time. I don't think he's going to be at his best going 10 furlongs. I think with a very quick pace, I think he won't be able to relax, and I do not like his chances today. But he's a very nice horse.
Fair enough. All right, it's in the books. Danny, appreciate you jumping on here, and it's great to be with you and your brother. I feel privileged. It's like horse racing royalty to my right and on the phone all at the same time. So thank you for gracing us with your horse racing knowledge today on WGN.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks, Harry. The pleasure's all mine. The feeling is quite mutual. Thanks, guys. Have a nice day. Appreciate it.
All right, Danny.
Adios, muchacho.
There you go. The Tynowitz family. You guys are like horse racing royalty, man.
And I wouldn't say royalty. We're just big fans. We love horse racing.
Don't you feel guilty, though? You look at these horses. You think they want to get out there?
I was talking to Krista before, one of the producers here at the station. Do you realize that the average racehorse is treated better than the average human being? I mean, horse racing, you know.
But what about the ones that are not the cream of the crop, Harry? The ones that are just discarded? The way we just use these horses to entertain you? Don't you feel guilty?
No. I don't feel guilty because this is, look, horses have been bred for years, generation upon generation. This is a sport that goes back, you know, 100 years ago, the three sports people cared about in America were baseball, horse racing, and boxing.
Yeah, but a lot of things that we did 100 years ago, we don't do anymore because we realized that those were things that we should not be doing, Harry Tynowitz.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is horse racing was always based on we're going to use breeding, bloodlines. We're going to, you know, treat these animals great. This, you know, this isn't like a PETA situation. You know, these horses aren't like being awoken in the middle of the night there might be one or two trainers in America that are doing illegal things.
Yeah, but
that doesn't mean that everybody does that.
But if somebody breaks a leg today, they're going to be shot on the spot, right?
Because horses can't, no, not necessarily. If someone breaks a leg, they're going to try to save them. If you're a horse out in the woods, if you're a horse out in the wild and you break a leg, you're screwed. You know, you're walking around on three legs and then you're going to fall on the ground. You're not going to ever be able to stand up again. Horse racing, you have stories of horses that, you know, they go out right away and they immobilize the broken bone. They will bring the horse back with a series of operations. They'll take them in the pool. You ever seen a horse pool?
I have seen the horse pool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So these animals are treated like kings.
Remember when Michael Jordan was rehabbing in the pool after he broke the foot?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He wore the Air Jordans in the pool.
Uh-huh. Like imagine if you had horses in Air Jordans.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, this one horse, Thunder Snow.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a weather forecast at Charlie Sheen's house?
Good one. All right.
Do.
All right. Let's take a quick time out. There are people who want to have thoughts on the Derby, so we will hit that coming back here, and we'll get into the news of the week too. Jay Cutler, LeBron James is killing it. I have a thought on him compared to Michael, which I have to get off my chest. I'm looking forward to that after 5 o'clock. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Thanks to Danny Tynowitz for jumping on, Harry's brother. Harry, thank you for the Fannie Mae candy.
Wendy's Mother's Day present. Did you open it?
Oh, my God. You got that for Wendy and you're giving it to me?
It's a Mother's Day gift. One of the many.
We're eating Mother's Day candy?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to go over? What are you going to say?
Well, she doesn't like dark chocolate in the first place, so.
Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lindenhurst is the next stop in the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. We're going to be broadcasting live from RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst. That's Saturday, May the 20th. So not next Saturday, but 2 weeks from now, 4 to 7. And RJ's Eatery is located at 1913 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. You can meet Harry Tynowitz and Adam Hogue will be there, too. I'll be there. You can visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details.
It'll be a blast. Come on out, have lunch, have cocktails, have some cold ones, and enjoy the conversation.
WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. All right, Paxton's waiting patiently, wants to talk Derby and going to the Cubs game in the freezing cold. What's up, Paxton?
Mark and Harry, I'm loving it all here. I love that Jim Blossoms bumper music, you know.
Yeah, found out about you.
Yeah, I know. I love that song. Hey,
thanks, I wrote it.
Mark, you're the hardest working guy on radio. You're on all the time, but I gotta have a comment here from going to the Cubs game. I gotta refer to the Gladiator when he was running his sword through the Tribune. And he said, oh, it's so cold. He said, the cold only concerns the weak.
You call me weak,
no
Paxton?
Consequence to the strong.
Paxton, let me ask you something. And I will grant that I have some weak qualities and that perhaps I need to get tougher. But do I really have to prove my mettle by sitting out in 40-degree weather to watch the Cubs and the Yankees when I can sit in my couch, order up a nice Lou Malnati's pizza and just enjoy an evening watching it right there for me? I mean, isn't that a wiser decision?
I don't know. Be strong, Mark. Yeah, you just gotta. And it's Aristides. Oh. That was the first.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to lay that on you. But oh, and the winner's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Kyle Hendricks.
Bubblegum on the rail. Bubblegum following the rail. Yeah, sticking to the rail.
Paxton, you're the man. We're going to put you on hold now.
Bubblegum sticking to the rail.
Is that actually a horse? That's
no,
in,
no. He went for a joke. But that's very cool that the young Broncos quarterback, Paxton Lynch, takes a minute out of his Saturday to call in.
That wasn't very nice of Paxton Lynch. Very, very cool to have him on the program. Mm-hmm. All right, quick timeout coming up after 5 o'clock. Get into a little bit of the Bulls and NBA news on the week, and then we're going to get to Jay Cutler. You are an anti-Cuddy. Like, I'm anti-Cuddy, but you're, like, really anti-Cuddy.
It's only because I've met him.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
5:07, we'll get to the Bulls at about 5:20. I want to talk about Joe Maddon and the Cubs' loss yesterday to the New York Yankees, 3-2. Mm-hmm. Hector Rondon giving up a three-run bomb, one strike away from victory.
Oh, it's a heartache.
It was. It felt like it was not May the 5th. It was like, I don't know. It was a disappointment. But so, okay, everyone was saying after the game, well, they were saying two things. One, why didn't Maddon bunt with Hayward? I got no problem with Maddon not bunting there. You got Aroldis Chapman on the mound. Mm-hmm. Left. Like, it's unlikely that he's getting that bunt done. Go ahead, swing away, hope for a miracle.
Right. It's so hard to bunt Chapman.
Yeah, so that's fine. The other thing that he said, though, after the game was that he reiterated that he used Wade Davis on Tuesday when the Cubs were up 8-3 because they didn't have any bullpen arms available. And so by using Davis on Tuesday, and then he ended up using him on Wednesday, then he ended up using him on Thursday, he was unavailable on Friday. So I had to go back and look at this. All right. If you go back to Monday,
okay, yes,
when this all started, if you start the week,
yeah, Phillies.
I'm just trying to understand his logic, because last year in the playoffs he was like, oh, you know, you're not going to get to Game 7 if you don't win Game 6, so I got to use Chapman in 6.
You
I'm
sure?
Like, dude, you're killing him. You don't need to use him. That logic is ridiculous. And so then he throws out there, well, I had to use Wade Davis on Tuesday. And so now you go back to Monday, and Brett Anderson only lasted an inning in the third.
Yeah, he got beat up.
Okay, so then Montgomery comes on for 3 2/3. Grimm for 2, Dunsing for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you can't use Montgomery, you can't use Grimm, you can't use Dunsing, I guess, for the next day. Although I might roll out a Grimm and a Dunsing after going 2. But okay, let's just say those are all unavailable, okay? You go to Tuesday night.
Uh-huh.
John Lester starts. He throws 106 pitches to get through 5, okay? I don't want to push him more than 106 pitches in May. That's fine. Get him out of there. He goes to C.J. Edwards for two innings.
He's been terrific this year.
Okay. Now, that's an interesting use of Edwards there, but maybe he thought the game was on the line at that point. It kind of was. Fine. Puts Edwards in for two. Then he goes into the eighth inning on Tuesday night. It's an 8-3 game. He uses Rondon. He uses Montgomery. I went through last night. There was he used Grimm and Dunsing. He could have used instead of he didn't have to. You're 8-3. You don't need to use your best eighth inning and best ninth inning guy right there. You could easily have Pedro Strop can't pitch in the ninth. There is there something wrong with Pedro Strop that he's not telling us? Why couldn't Pedro Strop pitch?
You brought up the World Series, which I think everybody, their mind flashes back to his overusing Aroldis Chapman. Joe Maddon was spectacular. He was the right man for the job. Joe Maddon helped this team win the World Series. And the way I can't imagine another team where everybody shows up at the park thinking, hey, I could play today. Because that's what Joe Maddon does. Everybody plays. They play. We're out of position. Everybody's involved. But I question his overuse of the closer.
Yeah, unless there was something going on Tuesday that Strope wasn't unavailable, that doesn't add up. And then you go to Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And again, by the way, to your point, I like Maddon. I like him a lot. He's the best manager they've ever had. I find him refreshing.
Ever.
I love the way he looks at life.
No offense to Mike Quadi.
I love watching him ride a bike with Kelly Kroll. I mean, a million things about Joe Maddon that I like. However, the way he uses his bullpen and the way that he grinds players, to me, is concerning, especially the bullpen. But when Chris Bryant tweaks his calf, and it's May, mm-hmm. and he says, I'm fine, I'll be out there tomorrow. No, you're not. You're not playing tomorrow. Because if you do more than tweak it tomorrow and you're out 10 days, then I'm going to look like a real idiot. And by the way, I'd give guys rest. They've played a ton of games over the last 2 years. They went to the... they won a playoff series in 2015.
They knocked out the Cardinals.
Right, and then the last year they won the World Series. It's May. You're going to have to give these guys a break at some point. Okay, so then you go to Wednesday night. Arrieta starts.
Mm-hmm.
Only throws 85 pitches, gets through six. Now, they had to pinch hit for him because it was a 4-3 game, so he brought Caesar up for Arrieta. He got an infield single that made it 5-3. Fine. Okay? He goes Uhara in the seventh, Rondon in the eighth, Davis in the ninth. Okay. It was a tight game, fine. Again, one-run game. You're using those guys. Okay, I get it. But now you've used Rondon in back-to-back days, and you use Davis in back-to-back. There's no Pedro Strop. I don't get it. You go to Thursday. Lackey last five innings, 101 pitches. Their starters are not going deep enough.
No, they're having a rough time with three of their starters.
Right. So then Dunsing comes in for one inning. He throws five pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Can't throw him. You know that you're pushing your bullpen already. Can't throw him. He threw five pitches, man. Maybe another inning. He brings in Grimm, who throws two-thirds of an inning. Looks awful as he's looked all year. Got sent down.
Yes,
and then
he did.
And then he brings in Pedro Strop for one batter and four pitches. Is there something wrong with Pedro Strop? I want to know. Maybe there is. Then he brings in Edwards in the eighth, gives Rondon the day off, and then he throws Davis again, 18 pitches in the ninth.
It was, Carm, it was highly unlikely.
By the way, and then that game went to extra innings. Montgomery threw three innings in the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Right. Hector Rondon has been terrific this year. Hector Rondon's been great. He'd only allowed two earned runs going into yesterday's game.
And that's the other thing, too. By the way, you did not have to use Wade Davis in a tie game on Thursday.
Right.
You did not have to do that. So the loss yesterday, albeit, which it almost feels unfair to say, I think it's on Joe Maddon. He pushes too hard all the time, and it ends up costing him at some point. Last year, they were fortunate enough that it didn't cost him at the most important time in the World Series. But this is a pattern for him.
Can you imagine? Because I agree with you. I think if the Cubs had lost that World Series, there would have been a lot of people questioning Joe Maddon after 6 months of praising him as the greatest manager ever. And he's so unique, and his theme trips and his antics where he keeps the players loose on the field. you know, plus batting the pitcher eighth, you know, I mean, moving players around different positions, you know, I think it's great. The way that they use Anthony Rizzo on these, when the other team is trying to sacrifice, is fantastic. I'm surprised more of the league doesn't copy it and try to do that. They don't have, you know, Rizzo's Gold Glove first baseman, obviously. But you, if you had to pick one thing that Joe Maddon, you know, does that drives you crazy, it's overusing the closer.
And the setup guy. He, last year, early in the season, he was rolling Strope out there all the time. If a guy gets hot, he's just going to ride him. He did the same.
Now you have multiple guys that are pitching very well out of the bullpen. The Cubs bullpen, when the year started, probably your biggest question mark, and they've been incredibly solid.
They have. The problem, though, is that, and this is not on Maddon, but their starters are not going deep enough. So last year, I mean, the Cubs starters were number one in the NL in innings. This year, they're nowhere close.
Right. The one that's most surprising to me is Jake Arrieta. I mean, he just won the Cy Young recently. He just threw two no-hitters in the span of 11 starts. And Jake Arrieta, I'm so sick of people saying, oh, is Jake off the juice? You know, I mean, it's hard to get major league hitters out. Jose Contreras, let's talk a little Southside baseball for a second. Jose Contreras, for the second half of 2005, first half of 2006, was the best starting pitcher in baseball. He got in a groove. Don Cooper had him clicking, and then he just kind of lost it. It is hard to get major league hitters out. Just because Arrieta is getting hit, his ERA is like a whopping 3 now. You know, just because Arrieta is getting hit, and his ERA actually is 4.63, un-Arrieta-like, it doesn't mean that he was on the juice.
No, and I think like last year's numbers for Arrieta is more
representative.
Yeah, much more representative of what he is. When he was the greatest pitcher in the history of the game, and he's being compared to Bob Gibson and Dwight Gooden in his prime and Greg Maddux,
Mel Pappas.
You don't go from, it would be highly, highly unlikely that you go from where he was with the Orioles to that. Now, what he's doing last year, totally fine. I mean, I want them to sign Arrieta. I don't think they're going to. But I'd love to have Arrieta in this rotation going forward, even though he's going to be 31 years old and it's going to be a long-term deal and maybe the Cubs will be right. And maybe overpaying is not the thing to do. But that's going to be a huge loss. Huge loss. But it's very hard to repeat. Very, very hard. And I have been out there. I am on the line, Harry. I have said they're going to three-peat. I need the manager to be on board. Yes.
Okay. Well, what will happen eventually?
312-981-7200. Confidence in Maddon.
The lumber will start moving. When
okay.
It gets a little warmer, and you have the lumber moving, and you're putting up bigger numbers on the scoreboard. There won't be such a spotlight on the bullpen. There won't be such a spotlight on the closer. But I'm telling you, you know, Wade Davis, who came over here from the Royals, hasn't allowed an earned run all year.
He's been phenomenal.
Good. Carl Edwards Jr. looks terrific. And please, somebody feed Carl Edwards Jr. You know, if you meet Wade Davis, get his autograph. If you meet Carl Edwards Jr., take him for a hot meal. He is so skinny. He is so thin. Thank God he's got a single digit on his back. If you put a double digit on Carl Edwards Jr.'s back, he might fall over.
He does look like he needs a meal. I have seen Carl Edwards Jr. after games, though, and he eats like a horse. I mean, he's had a huge plate.
That's good.
So he's got the good work in metabolism. They're not hitting either, to your point.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Bryant has been red hot last 10 days or so. He's up to 322, and, you know, the on-base percentage
right.
well over 400.
Your guy Schwarber hasn't been hitting.
No, Schwarber hasn't been hitting at all. He's sitting at 193 coming into tonight.
Javi, my favorite player, although he had two home runs to start May. He had a homer Monday and a homer Tuesday, but yeah. Javi's been at 200.
Yeah, and now up to 250, but his on-base percentage is very Javi-like at 301, and he's the concept of the strike zone is not super strong at 24 Ks on the year. Zobrist is down at 233. Rizzo's hitting 235. Russell's hitting 241, and I understand that everything's not batting average nowadays. I get that, baseball nerds, if you're out there. But Russell's on-base percentage is at 298. It's not good.
Can we talk for a second about some former Cubs real quick?
Sure.
Dexter Fowler hurt his shoulder last night.
Yep.
So we're hoping Dexter Fowler's okay. We hate the Cardinals.
He heard it on Thursday night. He had an MRI yesterday.
Okay. We hate the Cardinals, but we love Dexter Fowler. So we hope that Dexter Fowler is going to be okay.
We do?
Yeah. Have you seen the Cubs that went to the Royals, the pitchers, what they're doing? How ugly that is for Jason Hamill and for Travis Wood?
You know, it's been. I knew it's been rough for Wood to start. What's going on with Hamill?
Jason Hamill.
I know he's starting tonight, Jason Hamill.
Yes, he is. I don't know how long he'll last. So Jason Hamill has six starts, and his ERA is 5.5.
And by the way, Fowler arrived at the ballpark. I'm checking Twitter. MRI showed nothing concerning, and he could be, he's back in the lineup, and he's fine.
All right. Travis Wood has this year pitched 8.1 innings, eight and a third innings. His ERA is 14.04.
Well, they were right about that one, at least so far. I wanted them to re-sign Wood. I didn't get it.
And then...
But they ran him into the ground, man.
Right. It goes back to the overuse of relief pitchers. But now let's talk about Starlin Castro for a sec.
Okay.
The play yesterday, when he is the tying run at third base, and there's a fly ball hit to right field, he came so far down the line. It was like he was,
Starlin Castro.
It was like he had magnets in his uniform, and he was being pulled towards home plate. Then he goes back late to third base, tags up. Then he comes down to try to score, and Wilson Contreras is waiting for him, and he pops Wilson in the jaw. Thankfully, Contreras got up after being on the ground for a second. He was okay, but plays like that, that's the reason why Addison Russell is playing short for the Cubs and not Starlin Castro.
Starlin's having a great year, though. He's been
He can hit. He can hit.
He's been one of the best hitters in the American League. So,
I'll take Addison Russell.
Sure, absolutely. And they won the World Series last year without Starlin Castro. I'm not going to go die on the Starlin Castro vine. However, Starlin Castro got a rough ride in this town. Starlin Castro's a good baseball player.
Well, Starlin Castro got caught with his back to the infield as a pitcher was delivering a pitch.
Yeah, that happened, but... Listen,
yeah, Cap had a field day with that one on the postgame show.
Which one? The going back to third?
Yeah.
What'd he say? Just mocking?
He was just, incredulous at the mental lapse.
Like you didn't go home and watch it on DVR three times.
Yeah, okay, well, on that play too, Wilson Contreras getting cracked into. He had the slide the other night. I thought he broke his ribs the other night. I thought he was concussed yesterday. Wilson Contreras, one tough dude.
Yeah, he is. And Madden says he plays with his hair on fire. I love it.
I'm a Contreras fan. All right, quick timeout. 312-981-7200. A little Cubs talk getting you up for the pregame. Bulls talk coming up. We got John Paxson cuts. We got Gar Forman cuts. The Gar cuts are, there's like, you can hear him like double talking as he's speaking. 720 WGN. Talking a little Cubs baseball, Cubs and the Yankees tonight. Bray Anderson, if you don't pitch well, that's not going to be good for you. Mike Montgomery might be in the rotation before long.
Yeah. Or they could call someone up from Iowa soon. That's Anderson keeps throwing like that.
That's a possibility, too. We'll see. He's had some games where he's pitched halfway decent. He pitched well in Milwaukee, was one. He had a no-hitter, but then walked six guys in another game. I don't think he's going to make it throughout the whole year as in the rotation. Certainly won't make it if he doesn't start pitching better. Hey, Nick, welcome to 720 WGN. Thoughts on Joe Maddon? Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I was reliving that seventh game of the World Series last year. I almost died. I'm thinking, what is this guy doing? First of all, Joe Baez bunting with two strikes on.
Not good.
Right? That was goofy. And then what inning did he put in Chapman?
Put in Chapman in the eighth.
Chapman is a closer. 99% of the time he's in at the last inning. Maddon says he's going to put him in the eighth to show everybody what a genius he is. Well, it backfired.
I don't think he was doing it to show people what a genius he was. I think that he was doing it because he thought that was his best chance to win the game. But now,
Well, I don't know. We've got you might know a little bit more about baseball than I do.
I doubt it.
Joe Maddon is I think he thinks he's bigger than the game.
Well, Nick, appreciate the call. I don't think he thinks that. I do think that he inserts himself when he doesn't have to. Like, if you go back to Game 7.
Okay, Hendricks came out way too early.
That's where I was going to go.
Way too early.
You had a 5-1 game in the fifth inning. This guy has pitched his butt off the entire
ERA
season.
ERA leader.
He was the ERA.
In the majors, not just in the NL.
Yeah, he was a Cy Young Award candidate. It's in the fifth inning. There was zero momentum whatsoever, and he comes strolling out of the dugout to put in John Lester. What are you doing?
And another bad thing about that, obviously, is Lester is not used to coming in mid-inning.
Right, and that was the whole thing before, and I wasn't going to put him in a dirty inning and all that type of stuff. He just...
Then he took Lester out too quickly.
And then he took Lester out too quickly. He was pitching incredibly well.
Right.
It was rolling. And you could have easily left him in the eighth. You probably could have rolled Lester all the way to the finish, considering that you had rolled Chapman as much as you had.
Yeah, well.
But what he did this week with using Davis three times in a row and then his reasoning around it, just it did not add up at all.
Maybe it was just a practical joke.
I don't think it was. Still have confidence in Joe Maddon, but I have come to the conclusion that I don't think I'm going to change. He is not the master strategist. He just isn't.
He just, come on.
He's not. He's just not.
Look, Wade Davis.
He does some great things.
Wade Davis and Aroldis Chapman are two of the greatest closers in baseball. They might be, like, you know, the two best.
Yeah. I mean, I love when he comes out to the mound when the Cubs are, like, you know, bases are loaded, it's a tie game in the 10th, and he brings in the fifth, he brings in the outfielder, and he's switching gloves around and all that type of stuff. That stuff's great.
I love it when he comes out and he asks the umpire to explain why a balk was called or why a balk wasn't called, because he knows that eventually he's going to need to get a balk called on the other team. So he's a guy that doesn't just try to win that game. He tries to get every advantage he can for his team, and he keeps the guys loose. And again, it's such a key thing. I've had guys tell me when they come to the park and they're a backup, they know they're going to start, like, you know, three times a month. That's not as much fun as coming to the park for a Joe Maddon club. Every game you think you're going to get in the game.
He does keep the bench involved, I suppose, although a lot of those guys on that bench are not in love with Joe Maddon. See Miguel Montero. See Justin Grimm.
Miguel Montero's a loose cannon.
Quick timeout. Bulls coming up after 5:30. We got Gar Forman and John Paxton audio, the highlights of the press conference earlier this week. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmody. Sari Tynowitz with you till 7. On the beat, great to have you along. The Derby's about to start. We'll tell you who won.
Yeah, it's about, you know, it's going to be a while. Their horses are about to come out to the track from my old Kentucky home, which, by the way, the words have been changed. It is no longer a horribly racist song.
Oh, that's good. That's a good improvement there for the old Kentucky Derby. What do they used to say?
They had terrible verbiage.
Terrible verbiage. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. At least they have realized that they needed to make a change. How's that? Okay, so
speaking of making a change.
Yeah, so it was
how about that segue?
There you go. Earlier this week, you had the Bulls season-ending press conference, Gar Forman, John Paxson, Wednesday morning. And I've read everything that everyone's writing, and I listened. And a lot of people are up in arms that Fred Hoiberg is being treated poorly by John Paxson, and that they're running the bus over him or whatever, that they gave him this subpar roster and Fred this and Fred that. And let's be clear about Fred Hoiberg. Just like John Paxson said here, actually, let's hear from John Paxson when he's talking about how Fred is our coach. John Paxson somewhat endorsing Fred Hoiberg.
We had no discussion. We knew Fred was coming back. Fred's our coach. And we have to continue to support him. We have to continue to give him the resources he needs to be successful. And that's on us. And we're going to continue. That's what we're diving into every day now. That's our responsibility, and we'll do it.
Okay, so there you go. He just said it, that they have to give him a better roster. And now one more on that is about finding players to fit Fred's style, whatever that is, by the way. Go ahead.
It's fair to say that, you know, when you look at our team, we do not have great shooting. We know that is something we have to continue to be on the lookout for. Outside of Rondo, our point guards did not play with push and pace the way Fred wants to play. So, yes, we have to continue to look at the style he wants to play and look at players that fit that.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
Harry, if you will. What does a great coach do?
Wins.
What does a great coach also do? How about even a good coach?
He gets his rotation set. He puts his players in a position to succeed.
How about he takes the players that he is given and he gets the very best out of them? And he doesn't have a boxed in one style where you have to give him perfect players to play his style.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, so but in Fred's case, he needs we need to have the perfect players to fit his style. And listen, all that's got to go on. And then you know, Pac's got into leadership and how Fred's got to be a better leader. Fred Hoiberg does need to be a better leader. He is speaking the truth. And when he was asked about Jimmy Butler, it's hard to make a trade. We're not going to give away Jimmy. However, if somebody blows their doors up, they'll make the deal. All of that makes sense. I'm not here, by the way, to defend John Paxson and Gar Forman, but I'm going to do it because that is what makes sense. You're not going to give Jimmy Butler away. That why would you do that? You're not going to willing if you can go to the bottom and get fair value, great. But if you can't, then I would do what they're doing, as painful as it is.
Carm, the most telling thing to me about that entire press conference was the Jimmy Butler stuff. The Hoiberg stuff, I didn't learn anything. I already knew that. I already knew Hoiberg was coming back. I already knew Hoiberg had a roster that was void of talent. There are some very good players on the Bulls. There's a lot of guys that have disappointed. But, I mean, how much of that do you put on Hoiberg, and how much do you put on that on Gar? Well, you got a first-round draft pick who was spectacular in college that never gets in the game.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how he went about the Celtics series.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, granted, nobody could predict that Rajon Rondo was going to get hurt. But then he does get hurt. And then you have Isaiah Cannon, who hadn't played since December, all of a sudden is starting.
MCW.
Where was he? Michael Carter-Williams is your backup. Okay, fine. You're starting Jerrion Grant, and then you make the switch to Cannon. So now you've elevated Cannon out of nowhere, which, by the way, made sense. Nice job. But then you have, as your backup, Grant was the starter. He's now the backup. Instead, they just buried Grant, who was a decent defender, a capable ball handler, had moments, and could actually shoot a little bit better than Michael Carter-Williams, at least. You just completely buried him. None of his stuff made sense. All of a sudden, Anthony Morrow can't get on the court. Now he can get on the court. I could go on and on and on here. Now they love Nico. The Nico stuff is really weird.
Yeah, Nico stuff is weird. Jerrion Grant started as a point guard for the Bulls and came out of the game, like starting point guards do, and then never went back in. And Anthony Morrow, I had friends texting me who normally know everything about the Bulls, going, when did they get this guy Morrow?
Right,
they got him a while ago. They got him weeks ago in the McDermott trade.
Right,
Taj Gibson deal.
Decent shooter, has size. Could have been an above average wing defender. Never used him.
It's kind of nuts that they're in the playoffs, and that's the first time that they're using these guys in the rotation. Cannon and Morrow. Also, I had a real problem with the way they used Bobby Portis this season.
One minute he likes him, one minute he doesn't.
And when you're not using a first-round draft pick, you are destroying his trade value. So if you really think that Bobby Portis doesn't help your team at all, you can't just sit him and never play him, because now GMs around the league aren't going to give you as much. Play him 4 minutes a game.
Yeah, and I'm not saying
he turned out to be pretty good.
Right. He had some great moments this year. What they're trying to do, by the way, is focus on the long term and the short term. So this was Pax on that.
Bottom line is we remain focused, Gar and I, on both the long term and the short term. And in the short term, we're looking at a draft coming up where we're going to add two young players to a group that primarily is still very young. And we understand what that entails. We're going to put a lot of resources and time into our player development this offseason and try to create a culture where they can grow and become the best players that they can. We said last year when we made a lot of these changes that this is a process. We approach it that way every day, and we're going to remain patient and disciplined as we make decisions along the way.
Okay. So, and listen, they're trying to do the impossible, which is plan for the long term and win in the short term. That's very hard to do. I don't recommend it. However, I also don't recommend trading Jimmy Butler for nothing. So I get the quandary they're in. I understand it. And you, when you go to the bottom in the NBA, you can be there forever.
Right. Never signing, you know, if you don't sign Wade and Rondo, you're getting a lottery pick.
That's true. And okay. So
I love going up 2-0 on the Celtics, but I hate losing four straight. And here they are again. They're forced to repeat this never-ending cycle of being good enough to get beat in the first round and never becoming great again.
Okay, but come with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing the number one seed, the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, you torched on Twitter, and you're going to be wrong on that.
Did you not see the Wizards smoke them the other night?
Yeah, I did. They're
smoke them.
They're down 2-1 in the series.
Let's bet. Let's bet.
Okay.
The Wizards will win that series.
Okay. Lou Malnati's Pizza on the line.
Yes.
Done. Great.
Done.
Outstanding.
Extra large.
I'd love to see the Wizards win. Isaiah Thomas has had a rough postseason, tragedy in his family. The guy has crawled under my skin so far, I can't take him. He's talking trash to everybody.
He lost his tooth.
I appreciate his
competitiveness. Who's your all-time favorite Wizard?
My all-time favorite Wizard? Mm-hmm. Come on. It's Michael Jeffrey.
Oh, see, for me, it's Wizzo from Bozo Circus.
Okay. So I lost my train of thought. Or going back to, what am I trying to say? My point is this. In the Celtics series, if Rondo doesn't get hurt and Wade doesn't injure his elbow late in the season, don't they win that series?
There's a chance they could have. Boston is overrated.
They very well could have won that series.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, and and once you win that series, you have a chance to even make it to the conference finals. So
you're not going to beat Washington. No.
Okay, fine. Let's say you don't beat Washington. Okay, you're one of the final eight teams in the league. I understand that that's not the goal, but I'm not giving. If I feel like the team that I have is good enough to win a playoff series or be right there, the reality of it, I get it. Like, I'm not going to the bottom with players that I'm not excited about just to go to the bottom. It's gross. And it's not fun, and you're not playing for a championship. You're just playing to be one of the competitive teams in the league. But the reality is, no one's beating LeBron right now. You're not beating Golden State right now. So your chances of winning are extremely minimal. So being a credible organization that's in the remotely in the middle, I get what they're doing. Now, listen, to go to the bottom right now, also, you can make the argument very clearly that it makes sense because you're not going to do anything for the next 5 years anyway, so just go to the bottom, and when LeBron retires and when Golden State falls off the map, then you can be there to rise up.
You know, what was also very bizarre to me is the way that Pax complimented, I love Jen Paxson, he complimented Rondo for the social media backing of the young players when Wade and Butler got on them for taking the shot late in the game.
Yeah, we have that cut here. Let's hear it. Pax on Rondo.
There's a good chance, a really good chance, that we'll bring Rajon back, and for these reasons. As we get younger, it's still really important to have quality veterans around your young players. And to a man, our young people loved Rajon. He was great in the locker room. He was great off the court with these guys. He took them under his wing in a lot of ways, and he was responsible for a lot of the good things that came from them.
So there you go. That's your comment here.
He goes on to say that he did the right thing by publicly going after Butler and Wade, that someone needed to go after Wade and Butler after they just dissed the young players for shooting the ball late in the game. Wade and Butler said that they should look for 21. They should look for 3. Pass it to Jimmy. Pass it to me. And Rondo the next day went on social media and said, look, I need my vets to support the young guys. Well, if Pax and Foreman were so upset by that, why didn't they do something? And they probably know they might have.
Well, that's where Fred comes in. Hello, knock, knock, you're the coach. Can we get a little leadership? It's not really Pax or Gar's job. Where is Fred in that scenario? Now, they had a meeting and whatnot, but it's like he's late to the party, man. Way late to the party. And the respect level for him in that locker room, It's waned it's being very kind.
Maybe he got
some back later in the year because he actually went with the rotation and didn't just throw Cameron Payne out there when everybody knew he couldn't play. Nauseating trade by Gar Foreman.
When you were in high school,
yeah.
and the report card came, or maybe
I threw it away and showed no one.
All right, when you were in fifth grade and the report card came,
did well then. Yes.
What school were you at in fifth grade?
Ravinia School.
Okay, Ravinia School. Oh, was James Taylor there?
James Taylor was not there.
Peter Paul and Mary at Ravinia School.
Spent many a night at Ravinia.
Oh, me too, man. I love Ravinia. It's awesome.
Ravinia is awesome.
And I want to thank my friend John Hines for illegally letting me in all the time. Okay, so
I'd like to thank the Ginsburg family for allowing me to park in their driveway. Never had to pay.
All right, so look, here's the thing. Never ever.
Never ever.
That, and now you're showing me something.
Yeah.
You know, it's to the point with this team that if you want to do something positive, you got to do something negative. You have to not make the playoffs. You have to not make the playoffs in order to get better.
So you want to trade Jimmy for whatever you can get?
Yes, but I would not have signed Wade and Rondo. And also what I started to say about when the report card came in fifth grade, the teacher wrote up a report on the student. The student never wrote a report on the teacher. Dwayne Wade said that Hoiberg improved. So management cites, when they were asked about Hoiberg, one of the things they said was, well, Dwayne Wade said he's improving.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a good point.
Now, Dwayne Wade is a Hall of Famer. And Dwayne Wade has won more, you know, MVPs than, you know, most people ever will watch.
And the tail does wear the dog in the NBA. You have to get along with your star players.
Right.
And I get it.
It's been that way since Magic Paul Westhead fired.
Sure.
But, come on. I mean, you guys are gauging who the coach is. You guys are gauging what should happen. Also, what's going to be interesting for me now is what Michael Reinsdorf does. Because I think Jerry is going to step back, and Michael Reinsdorf is going to get the keys to the car. He's already making big decisions.
Well, speaking of Michael Reinsdorf, then, can Michael Reinsdorf, if he's actually in control of the organization, and I don't know Michael Reinsdorf at all, and maybe he's a great guy, does he ever get in front of a microphone? Are you ever going to speak?
How many owners do you see? Take Jerry Jones out of the equation. How many owners do you see speaking?
I see owners speak. Tom Ricketts speaks all the time. Rocky Wirtz speaks all the time.
Rocky Wirtz, you know.
I mean, not all the time, but they speak.
Rocky Wirtz, you know, the best thing he did was he spoke by his actions spoke.
That too.
He put the home games on TV. He brought Pat Foley back. And then he sat in the stands with the fans.
But Rocky's been accessible,
Rocky
man.
Rocks.
Rocky rocks.
Okay. And Ricketts is smart, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, But
so how do you want to be? Do you want to be this, you know, oddly connected to Gar Forman and your wives are best friends and they run the Bulls charity and so that's why you have your general manager and you never hear from him? Or do you want to be somebody that actually...
Well, Jerry Reinsdorf is one of the greatest owners ever in the history of sports. But now, we'll see if Michael maybe is not as loyal as Jerry. Because one of Jerry's faults is his loyalty. I wish people had been more loyal to me.
312-981-7200 if you want to jump in with any Bulls thoughts. The Derby's about to go. We'll take a quick timeout. 720 WGN. Derby is in the books. The local training crew of Always Dreaming is living the dream. As Always Dreaming takes the Derby, followed by looking at Lee, Battle of Midway. Finished third, your Kentucky Derby 2017. Harry, I'm about to say something inappropriate. You ready?
Yes.
I was a big fan of looking at Lee all Derby long.
Really?
Because it reminded me of being at the University of Iowa and perhaps being at a naked party. And there was not a lot of there was not a lot of naked women, but one of the women was Lee. And a lot of people were looking at Lee.
I thought you were going to give me a David Lee story. Always Dreaming is the son of Bodie Meister, who Baffer trained. His mom, the mayor, is a daughter of In Excess, and he was coming off a win in the Florida Derby. What I like about this is that this is not a fluke. This is a really, really terrific colt who has a chance to be a Triple Crown winner. And if we get a Triple Crown winner, that's great for horse racing. The Preakness is in 2 weeks. That's in Baltimore at Pimlico Racecourse, and that's the shortest of the three races. If he wins that, then he's the favorite going into the Belmont. The Belmont is in Elmont, New York, at Belmont, and that is 5 weeks from today. So this horse is solid enough, and his trainer is one of the best trainers in the country, and his jockey's already in the Hall of Fame. You know, this isn't a sport that waits 5 years. John Velasquez, the winning jockey, is already in the Hall of Fame. So
second time he's won the Derby, John Velasquez. Since that's what it says on the TV here that I'm looking at.
Well, then I believe it.
Yeah. I'd like to make mention that we watched the Derby with you, Amy Guth.
They weren't booing. They were Guth.
Our friend Phil and Dan Long. What do they call this? The most exciting 2 minutes in sports?
Yes.
I saw zero excitement in here. Zero excitement. Everybody just kind of stood there and just kind of watched.
Really?
I was expecting jumping up and down. You guys are horse racing fans. Amy's like the superstar horse racing woman. This is your whole history. You and your brother was on earlier. I thought you'd be jumping up and down. We all just stand there and watch and kind of... Yeah.
Carm, if I had... I mean,
I didn't see enough excitement.
This is like the people that didn't like Lou Piniella because he wouldn't throw the food after a loss.
Dan, did you see any excitement from Harry watching that?
No, I was glued to the TV on my side, so I didn't even.
My heart is still pounding. Pounding.
Okay.
Thumping.
I'm just playing, but
That was a great race, and I'm telling you, it's a big deal for horse racing that, you know, this top flight colt wins. Now he's got a shot to win the Triple Crown.
We got news in a second here, but Amy, your thoughts real quick here.
Man, to be fair, there was a year that I picked really well in order, and I was very quiet until I got to the booth to cash in my ticket. So, like, you got to play that stuff.
Were you real quiet?
Real quiet.
Oh, gosh, yes. Real quiet. Great horse.
I mean, this was a weird one. This is one of the widest fields I can remember in years for the Derby. It was a really weird one, and so it was kind of anybody's game, and we were all looking at the weather, and as of yesterday it looked like, you know, pick for heavy mutters, and then earlier today it looked like, you know, it's going to clear off. We don't need to look at mutters, but that track was slop.
It was
really
soup.
Gotta look at, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like a pigsty out there.
Yes, it was like Carm's apartment. And
it's true,
Mark. I don't like betting favorites in a normal race.
Yeah,
to bet a 9-2 shot, you know, is 4.5-1. 9-2 shot in a race like the Kentucky Derby, where there's 19 other horses. I don't like those odds at all. So I would rather, my dad would say it beats losing, but I would rather bet a long shot than bet a horse who's 9-2.
And what was interesting about Always Dreaming is that a lot of people kind of pulled away from that horse because he was so stubborn and bullheaded in workouts in the morning. And that trainer has got a long history of bad Derby luck.
I liked that part of the story for Always Dreaming, that this dude was just like, eh.
I know, he's like, I will do this my way. I liked that story, and I liked the story about Patch. That kid's got one eye.
Yeah. You know, about the trainer. The trainer is like the most spoiled trainer in America. He gets shut up, Jew.
Yeah, we got to go.
Is that what you say?
That's what I can't be talking.
That's what the tone means. All right, we have to go. Amy, you're on at 7. We can do this again in another crosstalk.
Indeed.
All right, 720 WGN News in a minute.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. One more hour on 720 tonight. The beat, and then it's Amy Guth, who stopped in for a second.
Guth
apparently got the Derby wrong for the first time in 8 years. She had 7 straight winners. Amy Guth had been red hot and then did not come through tonight.
I don't know how to tell you this. She's still kind of red hot.
Well, she is a very attractive woman. That is true. So I want to apologize to
about time.
My fans, all 3 of them, you, Harry, and this was emotional. Today, Harry, was the our first practice for the softball season. I know you're very excited.
What do you play on the softball team?
I'm an outfielder, although I did took some grounders at short today. I thought I was, you know, was looking pretty good out there, Harry, I gotta tell. Uh-huh. But I play the outfield to try to keep myself, you know, I don't like balls careening off my knee, off my face. And my arm is a little bit inaccurate, so I like to, you know, graze out there in the outfield.
Like a cow?
So I play on Sunday mornings, all right? And we have an umpire who is in his 90s.
What?
Yeah. And he gets stuff wrong all the time, but he's out there. And I appreciate it, and it's Sunday morning softball, and it's a good league, but, you know, I mean, come on, it's Sunday morning softball, and if he misses a call, he misses a call. So I get an email from our head coach, Coach Hendo,
uh-huh.
And he tells me that Freddie Girard passes away. So I put it out on Twitter back on April the 20th, RIP to a softball umping legend, Freddie Girard, hashtag Freddie was 91, still umping last summer, getting yelled at, I had his back. Like these guys would yell at him, be like, easy, leave Freddie alone. Well,
come on.
I don't think you know where it's going. Freddie, who I do know, did pass away. However, the Sunday morning umpire is not Freddie. His name is Maury. And so I thought I was talking about Maury. And so today at practice, one of the guys on our team is not going to play, And I said, why is he going to play? He's like, well, he doesn't like playing when Maury umps. I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing anyway. I'm like, why? Well, that's not a problem anymore. Maury's dead. He's like, and they're like, no, he's not. So when I was tweeting back on the 20th, I thought Freddie was Maury. And I did this tribute for a guy, and I know Freddie a little bit, but I wouldn't have given Freddie the tribute that I gave Maury. Like, I really, like, I got love for Maury, right? I mean, Maury's my guy. He's there every Sunday morning. And so I really gave the tribute to the wrong guy. And Maury is alive, and I'm thrilled to see him tomorrow as we open up the league.
Oh, my God.
There's a Freddie, and there's a Maury.
Is Maury 92?
They're identical. I swear it's the same person. But so if that conversation doesn't happen today at practice and I showed up tomorrow morning and there he was after I dead and buried him on Twitter, I think I would have had a heart attack. I'm like, hold on a second, aren't you dead? But he's not dead, and I get to see him tomorrow, and hopefully he'll make 7 wrong calls, and I'll support him on every single one of them.
My God.
So Maury's alive, Harry.
Thank God. Maury was nip and tuck there for a while. And, of course, our condolences to Freddie's family.
Right. And Freddie had a great run.
You know, that's
hope Maury doesn't have Twitter.
No, I was kidding.
I was thinking that, but I do think that
you could have an uncomfortable first at bat. Let me tell you,
I killed him, Jennings. I had Maury in the ground.
You know, Dave, three
strikes, none of them near home plate, and he won't crack a smile.
I would have walked up on the field, and I would have, like, ran up to him, gave him a hug. Did you come back? Did they open up the casket and out you pop for one more season? Wow.
Hey, that guy doesn't need to put a mask on. He already has the oxygen tank.
Good on you, Carmen. Good on you.
Maury's alive. I mean, people. It was clearly the highlight of practice today. That added a little spice for me. Harry, you have any thoughts on this? I don't have anything more to say.
I wish you had pictures of the looks people were giving you.
Of like,
no, he's not.
He's not playing. Why isn't he playing? Well, he's got a problem with Maury. Well, that's not a problem anymore. Maury's dead. Does he not know that? Maury's not dead. I thought Maury. No, that's Freddie.
Maury can't be killed.
Maury is indestructible. Maury's going to be umping until he's 110.
He's the $6 million man you just didn't know.
You know, the White Sox do a thing. Yeah, it's great that they let the kids run the bases, but the White Sox, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to once a year, they used to let senior citizens run the bases. And I always thought that wasn't a great idea.
That
should be like, you know, senior citizens run the bases day. It should be the same day as cardiologists get in free.
What about the swinging seniors out there at Bulls games? And those are.
Oh, I like those cheerleaders.
Yeah, like 85-year-old women out there getting all sensual.
Yeah, a lot of them play better defense than Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, and Dwayne Wade in the playoffs, if we want to start taking shots at people. Okay. We'll get back to serious business and Jay Cutler next, but
Is your softball team co-ed?
No. I have played co-ed. Co-ed's always weird, though, because, you know, girls are in the infield, and the guys that play co-ed softball, like they think that they're like Chris Bryant, and they're playing in these, like, Chicago social leagues, and then they're using, like, jacked-up bats, and they're hitting rocket, like, one-hoppers off the girl's leg. It's like, look, man, if you want to play at that level, go play in a men's league or play in, like, a real serious co-ed league, not the Saturday. So I stopped playing in that league.
And you play 12-inch or 16-inch?
12-inch.
Now, that's not really, like, Chicago-style softball.
Correct. Chicago-style softball's awful. No offense to
see this finger?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I have the same thing. My pinky is pointed to the ground. Never again. Not ever walking out there. Well, that's not true. I would play, but I'd sit in the outfield. Anybody who plays the infield in 16-inch softball, and even in the outfield, it's a dangerous hat. Your fingers end up mangled. Sorry, not worth it. Not worth it at all.
Hey, it's occupational hazard.
That's true. It is. Yeah, I play 12-inch, and I got a little bit of an issue tomorrow, Harry. Don't know where my cleats are, don't know where my mitt is. Actually, I think I do know. I'm 99% certain it's in my car that's in the shop. And I'm in a rental, and I'm walking out there with no mitt and no cleats tomorrow. Hey, I'm here.
So, what are you, Shoeless Joe?
Well, I'm going to wear gym shoes, and that's embarrassing, and you should never do that, but I'm going to do it tomorrow, and they're going to be mad at me.
If you wear gym shoes, what shoes is Jim going to wear?
Weeknights, WGN-TV Evening News has added another hour at 6. Mark Sapelsa, Micah Mater, Tom Skilling, and Dan Rohn will be there on WGN-TV Evening News. It's at 6 weeknights. Do they ever stop doing the news?
They never let. Sapelsa is chained to that newsroom. Poor Mark Sapelsa. He cannot get away from that newsroom.
Afternoons at 2, WGN. Mornings at 11.
In between the third and the fourth inning of Cubs games, Mark Sapelsa with the news.
God bless WGN-TV News. They have been killing it for a long time, yeah. So just keep adding the hours.
And JP's doing an awesome job. Yes. Sports, 4 o'clock.
We need more jobs in the business, not less. WGN-TV News is going to supply the whole business at some point here, the way it's going. All right, quick timeout. Jay Cutler is a broadcaster. Harry doesn't like it. 720 WGN.
Of all the scenarios that might have played out in your mind coming into this game after Sunday's game, was this ever a thought? I mean, this kind of...
Yeah, I dream about throwing 4 picks and getting sacked 7 times. No, obviously not.
.720 WGN, that was Jay Cutler. Harry? Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
720 WGN with you till 7. Amy Guth coming up at 7. I put a poll out on Twitter earlier this week. Did you respond? Did you vote?
No, I refuse to vote in your poll questions until you win a tennis match.
I made it to the semifinals, man. I had to win a couple matches to get there, you jerk. Why do you got to focus on the loss to Bobby, 6275?
What was your poll question?
My poll question was, what was your favorite
Jay Cutler memory?
Jay Cutler memory. Something, nothing. Why do I not see this poll? How did the poll just disappear on me? But that's what my poll was. What would you have voted, something or nothing?
Well, I mean, I would vote for something. I would have a memory over...
What's your favorite memory? Give me something. I have no favorite memory.
Well, I mean, how about the year that they went to the, they hosted the championship game?
Mm-hmm. What's your memory of that year?
Well, I mean, he did throw, he got hurt in the first half.
Yeah.
How about coming back in Kansas City? That was a good game.
Coming back against Kansas City when they were down, 17-0, and they came back and won 18-17? That was the big memory?
You know, he was, I feel bad for saying this, because... You know, you shouldn't remember a guy for the way he was off the field, but his off-the-field attitude is what I will remember about Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler was an arrogant person who thought that football fans didn't know football because they hadn't played football.
Smartest guy in the room. Everybody who knows him incredibly well say that about Cutty. And I think he is, by the way, a very smart guy.
Oh, yeah, Vanderbilt's a very, very great college.
Yeah, he just let's move on. Do you think he's going to be good in the booth?
It depends on how much arrogance he takes out of his usual over the top arrogance control.
Right. Are you going to be enthused to be there? Are you going to try? Are you going to want to try to prove to people that you're good at the job, that you care, that you do your homework? Which, by the way. If I'm him, I can understand not really doing a whole lot of homework and just showing up and saying I'm Jay Cutler and I've made enough money and this is what I'm doing and that's it. If I was him also, I would not have retired. You're going to go out playing 5 games out of 3-win Chicago Bears team when you're as talented as Jay Cutler is. I am waiting until somebody gets hurt. I am playing football.
Well, he can still do that. I guarantee you that's in his contract. I guarantee you it's in his contract with Fox. That if he gets an offer to play the NFL, he can leave Fox.
Yeah, but if I was him, I would have been dialing up my media contacts, whoever he's got in his back pocket, Waddle and Sylvie, Jay Glazer, whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
And I'd be, hey, I want to talk. Look, I'm getting in the best shape of my life. I feel like I've got something to offer, and I'm waiting for the call, and I'm expecting that it's going to come. Because Tom Savage should not be the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans, and Deshaun Watson's not ready, and I don't know what they're doing in Denver, but I do remember playing there, and maybe John Elway's got beef with me, but I know I can help that team too. And by the way, someone's going to get hurt, so I'm not going out on a 3-13 Bears team watching whatever I just watched last year with Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer.
The most enjoyable Jay Cutler ever was with Waddle and Sylvie. And, you know, kudos to both those guys for bringing it out on him, bringing it out of him. But Jay Cutler was very arrogant. Now, there's a long history of athletes that were rude to the media. Steve Carlton was rude to the media till he retired, and then he wanted to be in the Hall of Fame, so he became the media's best friend.
It happens all the time, too.
Right, it happens all the time. But what I'm saying is, like, Chicago is a work-hard play. Okay, here's where I ramble on about Mark Grace. Mark Grace was not only a tremendous hitter, a tremendous first baseman, a tremendous teammate. When Sammy Sosa was hitting all those home runs, it was always Grace, you know, making the speeches, Grace stepping in front of the microphone. Mark Grace would go to a restaurant or a bar in Chicago, and he wouldn't sit in a private room. He'd sit in the front of the bar, and he'd talk to everybody. He had time for everybody, okay? Jay Cutler did not.
And you don't have to be front of the bar guy or front of the restaurant guy or walk down the street gregarious fellow guy.
But if you happen to be in the men's room and some guy walks into the men's room and says, dude, I was in your geometry.
Don't care. That was what Cuddy said. Don't care. Well, he's drunk or whatever he is. Hey, look,
I don't know that he was or he wasn't, but I think that Jay Cutler
had to have been at least a couple something.
Look,
don't care.
Joe Montana was a ridiculous failure as an NFL analyst, and he was one of the most beloved football players in the history of the sport.
But deserved a chance because he was Joe Montana.
Yeah.
See, that's what we do. Like, the media were such incredible, what's the word that I want to say that I can't say right? I have words that I can't say. I want to use something nice. We kiss their behinds when they're willing to come work with us. No, don't give that guy a gig. He acted like it's like the Hall of Fame. Baseball writers won't put people in because they didn't like him, and that's petty. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't necessarily be petty for an employer like Fox to not hire Cutler because he was disrespectful, but we do it all the time.
All those Super Bowl Bears, okay, not only are they beloved because they won the Super Bowl, but they all had time for everybody. You think Mongo or Hamp ever said, hey, you didn't play the game, you don't know about football? Jay Cutler was arrogant. He said that all the time. Jay Cutler, to be a success as an NFL quarterback, I mean, as an NFL analyst, is going to have to put in the time. It's different than when you're a quarterback. He's going to have to know how to relate to the fan. The average fan works paycheck to paycheck. The average fan looks forward to Sunday because he can sit on his couch or go to the bar and he can have a few. And, you know, he plays fantasy football. He bets the games. I don't see how Jay Cutler is going to be able to relate to any of that.
312-981-7200 phone line, text line, informal poll. Are you looking forward to Cutty in the booth?
Are you looking at the Cubs?
No.
They're already down 5-0.
Ooh.
And Anderson is gone.
Well, could be the end for Brett Anderson.
He didn't even get through the first inning. They're still in it. There's only one out.
Well, that's disappointing to hear. All right, 5-0 Yanks. That might change my plans tonight. Quick timeout. Jennings News coming right up, 720 WGN. WGN. If you were listening before the news, David Jennings told you the Cubs are down 5-0 to the Yankees. Cubs starter Brett Anderson booed off the field after giving up those 5 runs. Out came the pitching coach, Chris Bosio. Out came the trainer, and there went Brett Anderson, who has had back problems over the years, and the Cubs now have a problem in their rotation. Felix Pena, who was called up yesterday, came on and got 2 outs in that first inning. So Anderson leaves with 1/3 of an inning pitched, 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned, didn't walk anyone, struck out 1, 23 pitches. His ERA now up to 8.18, which is not very good.
First of all, this game is not over. Second of all, the most likely guy to replace him in the starting rotation would be Mike Montgomery. The two guys that he beat out that are at AAA Iowa, there were 3 candidates going for that spot alongside Montgomery, and they kind of thought Montgomery would be the only lefty in their bullpen. But the other two guys, Eddie Butler and Alec Mills, are both on the DL.
So it looks like Mike Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And Rob Zastrzyzny's been called up. Rob Z, one of my favorite guys, talked to him after they won the World Series last year in Cleveland. So I like having Rob Z back. And maybe Rob Z will get a shot to start. Could Rob Z starting at AAA? I don't even know.
He has started.
Throw Rob Z in the rotation, man. Let me see what he did at Iowa. Iowa Cubs. I can look that up in a second. Actually, can you look that up, Harry?
Yes, I can.
Give me a Rob Z numbers.
I just got off the Iowa Cubs.
Hang on a second here. I got it. Let's see what Rob Z's doing down at Iowa. Don't know if it's necessarily the...
Boy, Ian Happ is killing the world.
Maybe he can pitch. Get an Ian Happy up there. Ian Happ, not going to be one of the... Bottom line, the Cubs are going to need to have someone in this rotation. Looks like he's hurt or something. Hey, a reminder, Lindenhurst is the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. We're going to be broadcasting live from there. The Beat, me, Harry, and Adam Hoge. RJ's Eatery in Lindenhurst, Saturday, May the 20th. So that's 2 weeks from today, 4 to 7. And RJ's Eatery is located at 1913 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. You can visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands, would love to see you. Come on out. Did you find out of Rob Z's numbers?
I'd say Eddie Butler has been pitching very well for the Iowa Cubs. His ERA is 1.45.
Okay.
Just doesn't have he's not currently playing. He's on the DL, but 24 and two-thirds innings of work for Eddie Butler. He's been very, very good.
You saying that Eddie Butler is going to be the guy, Harry? Make a prediction right now.
Eddie Butler. I, to tell you the truth, I'm not aware of his health status.
What about Rob Z? What's his numbers?
Rob Z, I can get that for you in a second. I went to the Pacific Coast Leaders to see who was doing the best from the Iowa Cubs.
Okay. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble pulling this up myself. Apparently I am. Earlier this week in Boston, Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles was playing center field, and he heard the N-word chanted at him. He had a bag of peanuts thrown at him. He talked to the media after the game and spoke about it. Boston apologized, and then he got a standing ovation the next night. So, you know, we all know that it's a vocal minority, and we also all know that Boston is a notoriously racist town, and I also think that's unfair because it could happen in any ballpark. It could happen at Wrigley Field. It could happen on the South Side. It could happen wherever. But it happened. And it's incredible that it happened, and disappointing, but I wouldn't say completely shocking. Although even if you're a racist person, to walk into a ballpark and willingly throw out the N-word around a ton of other people, it's incredible to me that you would think that that's okay. I don't care how many drinks you've had, by the way. That's just amazing to me.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
You're like beyond an idiot. You're a terrible person. You should be removed from life.
You're oblivious to what happens in the world. And somebody will remove that guy. That guy's going to say that at the wrong time. I mean, there's never a right time to say that. But that guy is going to say something one night when there's not people around to protect him, and he's going to be gone. Going back to Rob Z, he has not started this year.
Okay. All right. So that's
seven appearances, not starting. His ERA at Iowa, 7.41.
Well, okay. That's not very good. That's not going to be your starter then. Okay. So... During the week I work at fansided.com, mm-hmm. shoot video, whatnot, occasionally get to interview different people. So Fergie Jenkins was in studio this week. And so I asked Fergie about Adam and his reaction, talking about it, and also, you know, what he experienced as a player. So this was Fergie Jenkins, one of the great Cubs, Hall of Famer, 1991, a little bit earlier this week.
Let's talk off the field in Boston, Adam Jones being, the N-words being thrown out from the stands, and I'm sure you heard it when you were a player.
Right.
And I think, you know, we're seeing some progress here. He talks about it to the media. I mean, would you have ever gone to the media after the game in whatever city and say, hey, I was called X,
no.
Y?
It's really an individual thing. I heard it in the minor leagues.
Okay.
Because my career was in the South. Yeah. Started off in Miami and then Chattanooga at Little Rock. Played with Dick Allen. Right. He was there in Little Rock. I never heard it in the big leagues. I played 2 years in Boston, never heard it. It really depends. One fan is not going to like you, so he thinks by saying something is going to get under your skin, maybe throw you off your game. And that never happened because, you know, I was focused to play the game. He should be focused. Jones ought to be focused, Adam Jones.
Right.
You know, you're out there. You're going to get three or four at-bats. You're an important part of the team.
Huge part, yeah.
If you're the cleanup hitter, your job is to drive runs in, to play great defense, and to be offensive.
Yeah.
And he could throw you off your game by saying, hey, I'm going to get under your skin by just naming you something.
Right.
Which I think is – I think – you don't let that happen. And if you go to the press, now you've lost the control of what's going on.
Right. I mean, it was cool that he comes up the next day and the Boston fans give him a standing ovation.
Oh, I seen that. Because
they're embarrassed. But it's also, right. I think what makes the most sense is what happened the other night there, too. Somebody says something in the stands, and then there's another person in the stands who's alerting security. Like he,
right.
And I think it would be, I mean, I can't put myself in that position. Mm-hmm. But I would think it would be very hard on one level, just to not hear it and not pay attention to it, not give it any energy.
Most athletes have rabbit ears. You hear things.
Yeah.
No matter if there's 40,000 people or 20,000, you're going to hear things. And for another fan to stand up and say, hey, I'm here to respect the player, and you're causing a problem. And I think that's understandable if he wants to complain.
And how did you handle it in the minors when you would hear it?
It was something that, if it happened in the outfield, just walk to the infield.
Okay.
You know, you might hear a fan screaming at you during the game when you're pitching.
Yeah.
You just got to block it off.
So there was Fergie, and kind of interesting there, you know, old school mentality. A, play ball, man. Don't let them get under your skin. Don't talk about it and just move forward. That's old school. I like that he's bringing attention to it, but I also get where Fergie's coming from.
You know, I can't imagine what it's like, but I can understand why he would react like that. And it needs to be squashed. I mean, they say he's never going to be allowed back at Fenway. What else can you do? You know, can you jail him?
Well, no.
It's America. You can say whatever you want to say, but I mean that guy, you know. I mean, I don't want to say people.
Well, nowadays with Twitter and Facebook and whatever else, you can be publicly shamed pretty hard. It's a big difference out there. You know, you get people on Twitter all the time, they get those Twitter muscles, and then people retweet them, and then next thing you know, they're off Twitter because you're not anonymous, man. People know who you are. So that's one weapon that's out there today that wasn't in the past.
Milton Bradley blasted fans at Wrigley Field for being racist.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, on some level, I don't think it just happens in Boston. I don't think it just happens in, say, two stadiums. But it's also stunning to, like, really? That's what's going on? Are you kidding me? You want to boo Jason Hayward because he couldn't get a hit all last season? Okay. I mean, I guess that comes with the territory.
That's nothing to do with color.
Okay. But you're gonna climb up the racist mountain. It's like, dude, sir. And that what happened the next night during the national anthem, there was some fan who used the N-word again in Boston, and there was a biracial, there was a white guy with, I don't even know, he was married to an African-American, his kid was there, and he's right there, he hears him, and he called security over, got the guy kicked out of the game.
And well, he should. Everybody was with him.
Right. And it shouldn't really, I mean, if you're just a white person, you can still call security there too. If you're Harry Tynan, it's a Mark Harmon, you hear that, you can do it. But that guy was, you know, a little bit more invested considering his family, and he got security and he booted him out.
My kids, they're friends. You know, it's like, it takes you like four or five times to meet the parents before you remember like which parents go with what kids. There are so many biracial marriages. There are so many, you know, and I'm not just talking about black and white. I'm talking about, you know, get like the wheel, you know, spin the wheel of races, you know, and then there's she's got friends with two moms, friends with two dads, you know, all kinds of racial couples. This is 2017. You know, I don't know how that kind of stuff still happens. And I feel sorry for the kids that are growing up in the house that have, you know, a dad or a mom, a racist parent. That's got to be really, really tough.
Guys, the reason it still happens in 2017 is that although laws have changed, hearts are a whole other subject. And there are some people who just, that's what their heart says, you know?
Just evil?
Yeah. They don't like black people. They don't like Latino people.
When you get to the core of it, they don't like themselves.
That's it. I've seen the same Law & Order SVU. They don't like themselves.
And that's not giving an excuse on anything. But at the end of the day...
No, it's not an excuse. But it's wherever they got it from, they didn't just wake up one day and decide that using the N-word, screaming it out of the stands at a player on the field was a great idea. Someone had to teach them that, that it was appropriate and it was okay to vent your frustrations or your anger or whatever it is that you're feeling.
And that's all true, too. But I know a lot of people my age who came from racist grandparents or parents, and they did learn something along the way. And they would just say, yeah, my dad is an, you know, old school guy and he's an idiot. And they actually lived in the world and created a different view. I don't believe everything that my father tells me. I believe a lot of it, but I don't believe everything that he says, right? I'm sure you guys are the same way, right? Your parents aren't perfect. They make wrong. And I'm not perfect either. We get what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's got to, I mean, aren't we past that?
No.
No. Hell no. You know, remember, this is the same country that after Barack Obama was elected, people were going, we're in a post-racial society. No, we're not in a post-racial society. Racism is still very much alive and well.
Well, look at what happened.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, look at, well, it's, I would.
It's better. Jim Crow is gone. But, you know, there are still people out there who they see someone black wearing a hoodie walking down the street. You'll hear the power locks go off on the car.
Yep, well, of course.
And there's way too much racial profiling still.
Listen, in tennis, Serena Williams is having a baby. Il Nastasi, long time, you know, in the game. He said, well, is the baby going to be milk chocolate? I mean, my God, man, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And then he didn't even know that he said anything wrong. Well, her husband's white. Dude, it's like... You're really going to hide your ignorance behind, like, it's just incredible.
Her husband's Reddit, right?
Her husband's...
Reddit? Isn't he the guy?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's how he made his money. All right, quick timeout. We'll be on time for Amy's. This is 7.
I got to tell you what, celebrities were at the Derby today.
Okay.
And then thumbs up to a follow from last week concerning a former Hawk.
All right, 720 WGN. Amy Guth coming up in a minute here. I'm Mark Carmody, Sari Tynowitz wrapping it up. Celebrities at the Derby. Who made it today, Harry?
He was the Super Bowl MVP.
This year?
Yeah.
Who won the Super Bowl this year? I repressed the memory. It was New England
really?
Coming back to beat Atlanta?
Really? Yeah.
So who was this? Was it Brady?
Tom Brady was there. He wasn't the only Boston athlete. Wes Welker, who's a big horse owner, owns a horse named Undrafted, was there. Big Poppy. David Ortiz was hanging out with the boys. Also hanging out with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, two best quarterbacks in the world, and the greatest receiver to ever play football, Jerry Rice. Goodfellas actor Paul Sorvino was there.
Mm-hmm.
Bon Jovi guitarist Richie Sambora was there. Katie Couric was there.
Uh-huh.
The head coach of your Louisville Cardinals basketball team.
Ricky Pitino
was there. Warren Moon... And Justin Rose, one of the world's great golfers, all at the Kentucky Derby.
Last time you were at the Derby?
Last time I was at the Kentucky Derby was 1987, 30 years ago today. And my dad had horses for 20 years in Chicago that weren't very good. And then one year he loved this horse. Two guys told him they would partner up with him at the sale. And the horse went for like a little more than dad told him it would go for. So they both backed out. So dad got stuck with the horse, who became one of the greatest horses in the world. And Crypto Clarence ran fourth in the Derby. He would have been third, but the jockey saw blood all over him in the stretch, so he let up on him. It was blood he had picked up from the race favorite, Demons Begone.
The Tanuitz family had steak in Crypto Clearance?
Yeah, we didn't eat him, but we had steak. Crypto would be third in the Preakness and second in the Belmont, and it's considered like one of the greatest years ever for three-year-olds. That was the year that Ali Sheba was in the race. Bet Twice, Gone West, Lost Code, Java Gold, all these great horses all ran at the same time. But I'm telling you, put it on the bucket list, and the Preakness is great. And the horse that won today, Always Dreaming, he is a very well-bred horse, terrific horse. He could win the Triple Crown.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
All right. When's the Preakness?
Two weeks from today Baltimore.
Okay.
Is the station sending Amy Guth?
We'll find out in a second here. We got Transition with Amy in 2 minutes, 720 WGN.